Coming up, I'm going to tell you why you should act like you own the company. And then Lowe's adopting a four-day work week. And then the current hot job market, can it sustain its pace? And I coach you up. Let's go. Giving you the competitive edge to make more money and experience more meaning, winning at work and life. That is the goal. That is the aim. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. So glad you're with us. Okay, so I get this question a lot. You know, I get it in articles from media members. I get it when I'm on a podcast and they'll say things like, what advice would you give to a young person coming straight out of the workforce, out of college into the workforce? And when I get that question, I think my instinctive answer almost always, the first thing I say is, act like you own the company. The best way to start well for a young person who's coming into the workforce for the first time is act like you own the company. Now, you have to stipulate. That doesn't mean you walk around telling everybody else what to do. What it means is that it is a posture by which you treat your job as if it is the job of being the owner. So the owner dies with the company, right? The owner will do anything for the health of the company. That's the owner mentality. So for instance, when you're walking in and you see trash on the sidewalk or gum in the lobby, if you act like you own the company, you instinctively go over there and you pick up the trash. If you act like you own the company, you will instinctively withdraw from gossip and negative people who run the company down. If you act like you own the company, not only will you not engage in gossip, you might just stand up and go, hey, knock it off. This is a great place. I like being here. I don't want to hear that. If you act like you own the company, you aren't going to be leaving at 5:28 every day. You work to get the job done. You'll show up early. You'll stay late. You'll volunteer your services. That's the mentality of owning the company. So, but sadly, most people don't take this view. What do the numbers say? Well, the numbers say that the workplace is full of people who not only don't act like they own the company, they don't even act like they want to be there. Gallup has been doing a poll. Excuse me, folks. Pardon my voice today. Gallup's been doing a poll for years and years and years on engagement in the United States. What does an engaged workforce mean? In short, engaged means you're not just occupying a seat, collecting a paycheck. You're actively working to do a good job in your role for the betterment of your customer and for your company. That would be my definition of engaged. So the data has been pretty steady that only 36% of U.S. workers could be identified as engaged. 36%. That's crazy. So 64% are not engaged. But for you to win at work and then to win in life, you need to be engaged. And one of the ways that you can kickstart your engagement, because you got to love what you do. You got to care about the result. Your engagement is capped by that. This is why I teach what I teach. Talent, you do it. You use what you do best as a tool to do work you love, passion, to then produce results that matter to you. That's mission. So outside of being in that seat on the bus where you can spend most of your day using what you do best to do work you love, to produce results that matter to you, we start by at least having a mindset of, I'm going to act like I own the place. I'm going to care deeply. I could choose to care. And so I want to show you what it looks like. You need to know what you're aiming for. You need to know what you're looking for, or you won't find it. So I want to walk through five visions, if you will, five examples, five images for you to get in your head to go, this is what it looks like to have a self-employed mentality. Number one, you're responsible for your own well-being and success. Let me say that again, because boy, this is hard for a lot of people in our world to grasp. You are responsible for your well-being and your success. The government's not responsible for it. Your boss is not responsible for it. Your teacher's not responsible for it. Your principal's not responsible for it. Your coach is not responsible for it. Hey, you want to play? You know what I tell my boys? Earn it. Well, it's not fair. My coach favors somebody else more than me. I get it. That sucks. That's life. Earn it. Earn it. You are responsible for your well-being and success. Number two, you have no one to blame for your mistakes except you. Well, Ken, my boss didn't train me properly. Okay. But you should have raised your hand earlier and said, I don't feel like I'm trained properly, or I've got a couple more questions, or can we try that a few more times? See, this is a self-employed mentality. I mean, I work for me. That means it is up to me. There's an old phrase that really fits in beautifully here. If it is to be, it is up to me. Number three, the wins you experience when you have a self-employed mentality, the wins you experience have tremendous meaning, way more meaning. As you go, I fought for that. I worked hard. I slogged through that. I stared failure in the face and I accomplished something. Number four, the losses don't keep you down for long. You know why? Because the owner doesn't sit and sulk. The owner of the company doesn't have time to sit and pout when failures happen. The owner has to press on. They have no choice in the matter. Well, if you take on that ownership mentality, when things don't go well, you know what? I'm not going to sit around and sulk and lick my wounds and blame everybody else. You know what? I'm going to get back up on the horse. Number five, an ownership mentality, a self-employed mentality enables you to lead when you're not in charge. It is possible for you to be a leader even if you don't have a leadership position. My friend and former boss, John Maxwell, leadership guru, wrote the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, has defined leadership as influence. Nothing more, nothing less is what he says. It's influence. So the ability to influence a leader, your leader, a coworker, is leadership. The influence. If I can influence them in a positive way, that's leadership. But we should also say if I influence somebody in a negative way, that's bad leadership. So understand that the ownership mentality, you go, Ken, I don't own the company. I'm not the boss. You don't have to be. You can lead up, you can lead sideways, and you can certainly lead down. So develop leadership skills no matter what position you're in, because as you influence people, you create greater credibility for yourself, greater trust, greater progress. So that is what we need, all of us, in any position that we're in. That's the ownership, self-employed mentality, and you're going to crush it. Now, this mindset is going to change your little area where you work to the positive for you so that you get noticed and you get opportunities to grow. Coming up next, we're going to unpack Lowe's 4-day work week. Don't move. Coaching you to win at work and in life. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome aboard. Have you ever had that moment when you discover something new? It's very exciting. And it also could change your entire perspective. Maybe it was when you picked up a new hobby, moved to a new city. Well, that can happen with your job. You can make a massive step up or a huge pivot into what you want to do with a job. And I can tell you, we're going to be talking about this today in great detail, a lot of jobs out there. Job market is hot, hot, hot. ZipRecruiter are my friends. They're your friends. They're the number one hiring site in the United States. And they're incredible in what they do, in that they work for you while you're living your life. It's a free profile, takes minutes to fill out. Once you click go, they start pitching you to companies and they put companies directly in touch with you. And you don't have to send a million resumes out. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken to go find that new job, that new path, the progress you've been looking for. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. All right. So this is very interesting because the world at work continues to shift. And so as we see things, as they shift here in the U.S., as a man of the people, I am going to inform you. And so this is a big, 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 did I say big? This is a huge development, Alex, because Lowe's, we're talking about a brand name, big box retailer, is now shifting to a four-day work week. So there are trials that are being run on a four-day work week in Europe. The early data on a lot of these are positive. I don't know if this is going to become adopted in the United States or not. I will tell you that if you asked me a year ago what I thought about a four-day work week coming to the United States, I would have said, it's going to be a long time. As I sit here today, I revise that. Will we see wholesale adoption of a four-day work week in the United States anytime soon? I don't know. But do I think that a lot of companies are going to move this direction sooner rather than later? I absolutely do think that's happening. And will happen. Lowe's is the latest. After years of having employee complaints about their chaotic scheduling system, Lowe's is now giving full-time sales associates the option of working 4 days a week. It's not everybody, but this is a significant change. So for a while, Lowe's employees have been raising their hand going, hey, morale is really low. And the reason is, and this is kind of silly, on behalf of Lowe's, I think this is a silly decision. I'm glad they're correcting it. And kudos for them correcting it. So for a while, they've had a computerized system that assigned work hours. And so what was happening was, is people were working 6-8 days straight, no days off. They would go as many as 8 weeks without a weekend off. Yikes. So obviously people are going, this is crazy. I don't even know how to plan my life. You know, there needs to be some work-life interaction, right? It can't be all work, no life. So Lowe's spokesperson says, based on recent feedback, last week we began offering most full-time associates the option to schedule a four-day work week that maintains their hours. The majority of our full-time associates will now receive consecutive days off. So the goal here is more flexibility and consistency in their work schedule so they can plan their life. This process that they had, they've adjusted it once since 2019, and they're allowing their associates to request a standard shift and more frequent weekends off. One quote from a Florida employee said, "The old system pretty much held our personal life hostage. We would get one day off every 6 days, and then you work 2 or 3 days and get a day off, work 5 or 6 days straight after that. Then you get your 2 days off. But a lot of time is spent doing physical and emotional recovery. And that can be very frustrating when you're leaving it up to a computer." So here's my final word on this and why I share this story. One, I think it's of interest. But two, for those of you that are leaders, like I have a lot of leaders that listen and watch the show. And for those of you that are looking, what kind of place, Ken, do I want to work as it relates to culture? I know my sweet spot, but how do I know if it's a really healthy culture? And when you've got a company, whether small or large, that is relying on a computer system to determine people's work schedules, you have a massive failure. Anybody want to guess why? Because there's no human element there. Well, we're just going to put all these people's names in the computer and the smart little computer is going to figure out when they work. How many times have I told you, if you want to win in leadership, ask and get answers to two basic questions on a daily and weekly basis. Number one, leader, this is you talking to the people you lead. How are you doing? How's your life going? What's going on personally? You good? That's enormously important. To get your finger or your thumb, whatever analogy you want to use here, on the pulse. What's going on with that person? The second question is, how can I help you win in your work? If Lowe's and their leadership team were asking those questions and getting the answers, they would have never put a computerized program in charge of scheduling people. It's a huge leadership fail. However, I applaud Lowe's for realizing it by listening to their people and then making the correct. So bravo, Lowe's. Bravo. Be interested to see how it shakes out. But hear me say, as it relates to the future, when you got big companies like Lowe's going to a four-day work week, watch the trend on this. This could move rapidly. And again, this is the mindset of leaders. It's got to be this in this new work era that we're in. It's not about punching a time clock. It's about producing results. Let me say it again. Leaders, lead your people in a way that you and they both know it's not about punching the time clock. It's about producing results. I don't care where you produce them, and I honestly don't care how, as long as they're excellent and ethical, right? Excellent and ethical. If it's those two things, just give me the results, right? You know, you think of like the old sports phrases, it's getting to be close to football season and I'm fired up. Just win, baby, is a great one. And then Bill Belichick from the New England Patriots, do your job. Do your job. Leaders, pretty simple stuff. All right. Our friends at ZipRecruiter, my friend Julia Pollack, I've got an article from ZipRecruiter's blog. She's the chief economist at ZipRecruiter. And so this is an interesting update I want to give you. Ready for this, folks? This is fascinating stuff. We have now, because here's what I want you to hear. Before I dive into this, some of you are you're susceptible to check out. Listen to me. Those of you who are worried about a recession or think we're already in one, listen to what I'm about to share. And then you decide how this affects you and should you be going, freaking out. We've now had 6 straight months of more than 11 million job openings. 12 straight months of more than 4 million people voluntarily quitting their jobs. What does that mean? It means that companies are still looking to hire, and job seekers are confident that they can leave the stability of what they know to get something that they believe is better. There were 11.3 million job openings this month, and that's 61% more than before COVID. Now, how about small business? Oh, no, sorry. Let me one other key piece of data here. Layoffs remained historically low at 1.4 million. That's well below the pre-COVID average of 1.9 million layoffs per month. So employers are hanging on to people. Why? Because they're scared to lose you. They're scared to lose you. So you can take complaints to them with the right posture. They don't want to lose you. Don't be a jerk about it. Don't be immature. Be classy. But you have leverage. Now, how about small business demand? Small business demand for workers is really high. 1.8 million job openings are a record high in small businesses with fewer than 10 employees. So really small businesses are looking for help. 51% of them said they couldn't fill the jobs in May, and 92% of those owners say they can't find anybody qualified to do the work. So what does that mean for you? Opportunity is still great. All right, folks, I am very excited about what I have in my hand. This is very exciting news. Ramsey Career Academy is launching the Career Boost Certification this fall. This is a 10-week certification. It's a course designed to help you get the essential skills that you need to get noticed, to stand out, and to be able to step up. It's going to cover everything from people skills, soft skills. I'll be teaching that specifically, project management, goal setting, communication and self-awareness, digital marketing and sales. Spots are limited for the fall cohort, so don't wait. You can apply by going to RamseySolutions.com/boost, RamseySolutions.com/boost. All right. Aaron joins us in Elsinore, Utah. Aaron, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. What's going on?
Well, I'm doing a show right now, and you are live, sir. I'm here to help you.
All right.
What's up?
So I am currently in a kind of job situation where right now I am pumping septic tanks and driving trucks and doing that kind of thing.
Wow.
And it's getting kind of burning out. And so I'm working for my grandpa, and we have a small company. And I'm thinking about changing careers to more of the business consultant side. I helped my wife start up a tattoo company, and I've just been having a blast doing that. And so that's what I was thinking might be what I love, what my passion could be, is consulting small businesses.
Okay.
And I just don't even know how to even think about getting started.
Okay. I love the question. I think this is great. And, there's no like 5-step process that I can just rattle off to you. This is you're going to have to feel your way through this. But what's great is you've already identified the foundation by which you need to build this. And that's helping your wife. Because yeah. If you act as her small business consultant and you help her grow this thing, the results that you will help her produce will become your calling card. And mm-hmm. So, you know, you will then go, well, this is what my wife and I did, and I want to help others do it. So you're going to have to replicate that. And there's a couple ways to do it. Now, you can go out. I mean, you can sit down tonight. And if I were hanging out at your house, I would be sitting at your table and you'd have a laptop or something to write with. And I'd say, all right, I want you to write down the specific areas that you love engaging with in your wife's business. So you go, well, Ken, I really like the marketing piece, or I like the customer acquisition piece, or whatever. You still tracking with me?
Yes, sir.
So one of the things you've got now is you've got this little sandbox that's your wife's tattoo company, and so that becomes your laboratory. You're getting in that sandbox and playing around and going, okay, I'm testing this, trying this. So I'd have you start by going, okay, I love consulting my wife in this area or on this particular thing. Let's make the list. So now we know, and you're able to look at it, and you've gotten really clear on it. And so if you were ever to run into somebody in the elevator or at the golf course or wherever, and you go, boy, I really love doing this, and this. Okay. And so now you've got this thing down. You're able to talk about it, quantify it. You still tracking with me?
Yes, sir.
All right, that's the first step. Now, as you begin to develop other things on that list and helping your wife's tattoo company grow, we add to the list. Okay, so now then we go, okay, we have a general kind of a list of services and what I know I would love to do. Now you got to go out and do a bunch of research and a bunch of connecting. That's steps 2 and 3. Research is step 2. I want you out there doing research in the form of companies that specialize in consulting with small business development and growth, and see mm-hmm. what their suite of services are. Read the language they use on their website or in their promotional materials. And now you're adding again to your list to be able to go, okay, I know how to talk about this. I can identify the needs that most small businesses have. So you've already, the first step was you identifying what you love to do. Now you've got to get really clear on what are the big needs that small businesses usually engage consultants on. All right. Now that's the research. The third step I said is you need to begin to connect. And I want you hanging out with small business owners. I don't mm-hmm. know where they congregate in Elsinore, Utah, but I know that you can find forums and things like that and groups online, right? And begin to really get inside the head. But I would be spending time with people that you know and then getting connections from people you do know to the small business people in Elsinore. So quick little exercise, okay? How many small business owners in your area do you personally know, whether it be acquaintance level or you know them really well?
I know quite a bit from doing my job. You know, I know a lot of the restaurant owners from pumping out grease traps. I know a lot of them from pumping out their businesses and stuff like that. So I got a lot of connections with a lot of the small business owners,
perfect.
Mainly as on a professional level with,
perfect.
You know, me going and perfect. Servicing their needs.
Okay, great. So that is the proximity principle that I'm going to explain. In order to do what you want to do, you got to be around people that are doing it in places where it is happening. Now, you're researching online, you're looking at people that write books for small business owners. You're just gathering. Add that to the work that you love to do, and you've actually had some success growing your wife's business. So you've got that part. The other part is get around people that are doing it. Well, those are the relationships you have with the septic tank. But here's one thing I want to share with you. There's no work that is ethical or moral or whatever that is dishonorable. However, mm-hmm. I don't want you walking from the septic tank truck into the lobby going, hey, I want to talk to you about my small business consulting services. It's a real miss from a branding standpoint. So
yes, you kind of smell funny.
Yeah, you smell funny. Yeah, boy, ain't that the truth. But here's what I want you to understand. You need to move from working for your grandfather to another day job. And if you could get a management position with some other company, just to kind of change your resume a little bit, change your current location, or is it possible in the next 6 months or less, or even 12 months, could you get your wife's tattoo business up and running to where you're getting paid from that business?
Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about more possibly even seeing if a consulting firm might hire me part time,
right,
even though I don't have any education.
Well, no, not part time.
Going to school.
Consult. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Sure. But you want to get to a point. You're in school? You didn't tell me you're in school. What are you in school for?
I haven't started school yet.
Why
I'm
26
and I don't have any college. I didn't know if college might be something that I would need to do consulting.
Now, college is worthless for somebody who wants to be a business consultant. Yes, I said that. I raised some eyebrows in the control room. Let me say it again so everybody understands. College degree, if you want to go into business consulting, is absolutely, utterly, completely worthless.
Okay.
The classes, the professors that they're going to teach you, they don't know jack crap about running a business.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to learn how to run a business, hang out with people who are actively, successfully running businesses.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to build up into being a consultant, and nobody wants a consultant who hasn't done it.
Mm-hmm.
So don't spend one nickel on a business degree to try to become a business consultant. Go work for a small business owner, or you become the small business owner and go all in with your wife and you crush it, grow it, systemize it, come up with your methodology, your philosophy, all that, and then you'll eventually get clients.
Yeah, do you think I ought, so with my grandpa's business right now, he's 73, me and my uncle were actually thinking about taking it over and running it as a
great, fantastic. But you're going to have to get out.
My grandpa right now is kind of running it into the ground, and that kind of makes me nervous of trying to follow him when he's taking it so far into debt.
Oh, okay. Well, you just made this easy for me. Unless grandpa can pay the debt off, I would not take his business. There's other businesses that you can get in and run that don't have any debt. You have no desire to be dealing with all that. You know what? Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So there it is. You knew I wasn't going to get through the call without some reference to the septic business.
crappy job.
It is a crappy job. No question about it. Here's the deal. No to the grandfather's business because of the debt. I want you in a business that you're excited about. You believe in the product. So either work with your wife or go work for somebody else. Get in a management leadership position, small business preferably, help grow the business. And again, you will never be a successful consultant if you can't A, show them that you've got the chops and you've built something, grown something. B, you've got a philosophy and methodology that is completely geared towards their needs. This is going to take some time. Be patient. I got to get out of here. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.